Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson. It's Monday, and you know what that means. It's time for Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. On tonight's show, we'll talk with Andrea Balzano, the director of the Indiana University Student Foundation, about this year's Little 500 bike races coming up on May 26th. We'll recap a busy week around the state of Indiana. We will have our Big Boys Moving High School scoreboard update, and we'll look ahead to the week in IU athletics. So let's talk sports. We'll start with IU men's soccer, beating Seton Hall 2-0 in the NCAA quarterfinals last Monday night. 3 minutes to go before half, there was a 40-minute weather delay, and once play resumed, the Hoosiers took control. Ryan Wittenbrink scored at the 43-18 mark just a minute and a half before halftime, and then Thomas Ward added the second goal at the 57-45 mark to give the Hoosiers the 2-0 win over the Pirates. Goalie Roman Celentano recorded his 9th clean sheet of the season. The Hoosiers then took on Pittsburgh Friday night in the College Cup semifinals and won 1-0. Herbert Endelay scored at the 78-48 mark, and Celentano recorded his 10th clean sheet of the season. IU is 12-1-2 on the year. They were making their record 21st College Cup appearance. They are now in the championship game for the 16th time. They are 8-7 overall. They last made the championship game in 2017 when they lost to Stanford in double overtime. They last won it all in 2012 in Hoover, Alabama. The Hoosiers will play Marshall this evening, 8 o'clock on ESPN2 for the championship. IU men's basketball player Jerome Hunter will not return next season to the IU men's basketball team. The 6'7 redshirt sophomore from Pickerington, Ohio, played 2 years for the Hoosiers, had 4.9 points, 2.5 rebounds in 16 minutes per game. He was 39.7% from the field and connected for 32.4% from three-point land on 136 career attempts. He missed the 2018-2019 season with a medical condition in his lower legs that required surgery. Hunter was suspended multiple times by former coach Archie Miller due to undisclosed reasons. His departure opens up one spot for the 2021-22 season, should the Hoosiers choose to use it. IU men's basketball also announced the Big Ten schedule for the 2021 season. Fourth year that there will be a 20-game schedule. The Hoosiers will play 7 teams, both home and away. They include Purdue, Maryland, Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin. They will play Illinois, Michigan, and Rutgers at home only, and they will play Iowa, Michigan State, and Northwestern on the road. Dates and times and TV designations will be announced at a later date. IU football will play Old Dominion August 30th, 2025 in Memorial Stadium, filling out the non-conference schedule for that season. IU will host Louisville September 6th and Indiana State September 13th. It will be the first meet between the Hoosiers and the Monarchs. Old Dominion is in Conference USA and located in Norfolk, Virginia. Defensive end Jaron Handy transfers from Auburn to IU. He is the cousin of current IU wide receiver Ty Freifogel. Handy is 6'5", 275 pounds from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. He will have 3 years left with the Hoosiers after starting his first 2 years at Auburn. And IU football got a commit for 2022. Defensive end Richard Thomas Jr. committed from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 6'2", 225. Plays at American Heritage High School. He chose the Hoosiers over Pittsburgh, Mississippi State, Penn State, and Syracuse, and he's the third commit for the 2022 class. The Indianapolis Colts announced the 2021 regular season schedule. They will open September 12th at home against the Seattle Seahawks. They will have 4 primetime games: Monday night, October 11th at Baltimore, Sunday night, October 24th at San Francisco, Thursday, November 4th against the New York Jets at Lucas Oil, And then Christmas night at Arizona, they will also host Tampa Bay November 28th, the final regular season home game, January 2nd against Las Vegas, and then at Jacksonville January 9th for the final regular season game. The Indiana Pacers finished 34-38 as they close out the regular season. They beat Cleveland 111-102, beat Philadelphia 103-94, lost to Milwaukee 142-133, lost to the Lakers 122-115, and beat Toronto in Tampa 125-113. The Pacers will play Charlotte in the first ever play-in tournament tomorrow night, 6:30 on TNT. The Pacers end up with the 9 seed, the Hornets the 10 seed. The Indiana Fever lost a preseason game at Chicago 83-70 Tuesday, opened the regular season at New York Friday night, lost 90-87 when Sabrina Ionescu hit a buzzer beater to beat the Fever, and then Sunday afternoon, they lost to the Liberty at Bankers Life 73-65. Kelsey Mitchell had 16 points, Danielle Robinson with 13, and Tiffany Mitchell with 12. The Fever are 0-2. Up next, Wednesday at Connecticut, 7 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. Friday versus Atlanta at 7, and then Sunday versus Washington at 1. The Indianapolis Indians are 7-4 on the year. Beat Toledo 4-3 on Tuesday, 5-3 on Wednesday. Lost Thursday 6-5. Won Friday 6-2. Won Saturday 5-4, and won Sunday 6-5. They will be at St. Paul tomorrow, starting through Sunday. High school sports time. Let's check the Big Boys Moving Company and local high school scoreboard. Big Boys Moving serves you with an attitude of gratitude. Well, in high school softball, Edgewood is 18-5, beat Owen Valley 8-4, beat Cloverdale 10-4, and then lost 3 in a row to Clay City 13-3 in 5 innings, Bedford North Lawrence 7-0, and Roncalli 5-0. Bloomington North is 7-13, lost to Southport 5-3, beat Brown County 13-2, lost to Morrisville in a doubleheader 15-2 in 6 innings, and 12-6. Bloomington South is 7-11, they lost to Columbus North 4-0. Edgewood Baseball is 11-7, beat Owen Valley 10-0 as Connor Thummel and Coleman Sater combined for a no-hitter. The Mustangs beat Greencastle 8-1. Bloomington North is 13-10. They beat Southport 7-4. Eastern Green 12-9. Beat Sullivan 8-1 and Washita Washington 12-0 in 5 innings. Bloomington South 12-11. Beat Terre Haute South 11-1. Lost to Columbus North 17-4. Lost to Martinsville 8-1. Lost to Jennings County 4-3 in 8 innings. And lost to New Albany 9-5. Girls tennis, Bloomington North 11-3, beat Greenwood 5-0, and Martinsville 5-0. Edgewood 2-8, beat Martinsville 3-2, lost to Bloomington South 5-0. Bloomington South is 5-8, lost to Columbus North 5-0, lost to Center Grove 5-0, and beat Edgewood 5-0. In boys golf, Bloomington North was 8 at its own invitational and lost to Columbus North 390-294. Edgewood, 15th at the Bloomington North invite, they lost to Monrovia 194-181 and Linton 194-186 and finished 5th at the Western Indiana Conference meet. Bloomington South was 11th at the Bloomington North invite, beat Columbus North 313-318, beat Bedford North Lawrence 308-344, and were 6th at the Brownsburg Invitational. And in boys and girls track, Bloomington North wins their own invitational with 126 points. The girls finished 2nd with 128.5 points. Bloomington South boys were 5th at the Bloomington North Invitational with 64.5 points. The girls won the Bloomington North Invitational with 135 points. Edgewood boys were 3rd at the WIC meet with 89 points. Northview wins for the first time since 2002 with 109 points. For Edgewood, it's the first time since 2001 they have not been in the top 2. They've won the WIC in that span 16 times and were runners-up twice. The girls, though, won the Western Indian Conference meet with 161 points and their first title since 2010. That is a look at our high school scoreboard brought to you by Big Boys Moving Company. When we come back, we will talk to Andrea Balzano, the director of the Indiana University Student Foundation. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan from newborn to 89 years old. From term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479, or online at bbmoving812.com.
Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. It is time to welcome in my guest. She is the director of the Indiana University Student Foundation. Andrea Balzano is my guest. Andrea, pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Nick. I'm excited to be here.
So the Little 500, May 26th, on Wednesday, the women's race at noon, the men's at 4 o'clock. How unusual is it to have the Little 500 in May when it's traditionally in April?
Well, it certainly is a little unusual, but we are living in a pandemic and we are living in unusual times. So we are really thrilled to be able to host the event for our student writers and our student volunteers. We have a wonderful relationship with the IU Media School and IU Radio and TV Services. So we are able to broadcast the events to our virtual spectators, which we are also really excited to do. So it's a little unusual, like you said, but it's most certainly better than 2020 when we were not able to host the race.
How hard was that not to have, for the first time ever, the men's had been racing since 51, the women since 88. How hard was that not to have an actual Little 500 in 2020?
You know, it was really challenging. It was many things last year and this year continued to be really challenging. And it was difficult to give that information to our students. Both our student writers and our student volunteers really truly work all school year, if not multiple years, in order to prepare for race day. And so to give them that news and tell them that we are not able to host an event is really heartbreaking. It was not easy for anybody, students, volunteers, staff members at the Student Foundation and the foundation. It was hard. It was a strange year. You know, the announcements kept coming out nationally about various sporting events that were being canceled due to COVID. And so we were just one of the dominoes in that domino effect. And it was challenging, but we were able to host events in track practice last fall. We were able to host many events this past spring in track practice, and we are still hosting track practice. So I really hope that we are making up for that lost time. And we are certainly trying to give our students as much access to Bill Armstrong Stadium as we can right now.
When was that decision made to push it back from April to May 26th?
The announcement came out the first week of March. So about two-ish months ago, it was about mid-semester, the first week of March, when that announcement came out.
And of course, one of the big differences this year is no fans are allowed. It's just riders and essential people only. So how hard is that for the riders and for the event organizers like yourself to know that fans are not going to be there?
Yeah, again, you know, it's not easy to be the bearer of that news and to relay that information to our students who, like I said, work incredibly hard all year long two years in this case to prepare for this event. But again, we're living in a pandemic and our priority is to keep our campus community and the Bloomington community safe. and there are still travel restrictions in place. And so we want to be able to host the event while still keeping the community safe. And this is the best way to do that right now.
So what are the protocols in place and what should everybody know going into May 26th?
Yeah, so for our students and for our volunteers, they have to submit either proof of vaccination and or negative test results in order to be let into Bill Armstrong Stadium on race day. We have many volunteers who work with us year after year, and they have been really cooperative to make sure that they are vaccinated and or that they are able to get tested. Our students are incredibly eager to be back on the track racing, so I think they're happy to follow those protocols. Everybody will be wearing masks on race day. It's still a campus and Bloomington mandate to be masked up when you're out in public. So everybody will be wearing masks. Our student riders are able to remove their masks when they get on the track. So when they jump on their bike, they can take their mask off while they're actively cycling. And then they have to put it back on when they're in their pits. We will have ample sanitation, hand sanitizers, and restrooms available for people to make sure their hands are washed. We will be enforcing social distancing. Our pits, our teams are in pods, so they are able to all be in their pit together. Our infield workers will be social distanced. We're going to do our best to make sure that everybody is safe on race day.
There's always a lot of events that lead up to the race. It's not just a one day, one time event. These riders, they train all year. So explain everything that goes into what the riders do leading up to this.
So we host track practice, daily track practice, 5 days a week throughout the spring semester. We did have a blizzard in February, so that prevented us from starting mid-February, which is when we normally start. So we got rolling a little bit later this year. But we have regular track practice. We also were able to host individual time trials, Missing Out, and Team Pursuit. So those three events make up our spring cycling series, and Little 500 riders are able to participate in those. So we were able to host all three of those events like we do on a normal spring semester, which has been really, really great. I think riders were excited to be out there racing again, and I think our volunteers were excited to be together in person working events again also.
Biggest thing about the Little 500 that people probably don't realize is the impact it has not only on the students, but it's a huge fundraiser for the university.
Luckily, our capability and our ability to give out scholarships this year has, and last year, was not impacted by the lack of ticket sales. So we are fortunate in that. And we were still able to give out our normal host of scholarships, both semesters last year and this year, and we will continue to be able to do that moving forward.
Now, you're a director of the Student Foundation. You're a 2014 graduate. You're from Elkhart, Indiana. You went to Elkhart Memorial. So how many times have you actually been to the race itself?
So I have been to every race since 2012. So although I'm born and raised in Indiana, I only visited IU once for a campus tour when I was a senior in high school, and I never attended the race in person before I was a student at IU. And as a freshman, I didn't participate or attend the race either. But then my sophomore year, I rode for Collins Cycling, and I rode for 3 years. So every year since I started riding, I have attended the races. So I haven't missed one since 2012, and hopefully won't have to miss one ever.
Do you ever want to jump back on the bike and try to get in as an is it like an alumni team?
we are hoping to host alumni races at some point next year if we're able to, so maybe you'll see me out there. We'll see.
Well, we're going to take a break. We will come back more with Andrea Balzano after this quick timeout. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
This is Indiana University Senior Associate Athletic Director Jeremy Gray. and I listen to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on South Central Indiana News Network.
Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. My guest, Andrea Balzano, director of the Indiana University Student Foundation. Andrea, we were talking about your experiences with riding in the Little Five and now being the director of the Student Foundation. Have you ever watched the movie Breaking Away? I feel like that's a requirement for everybody that's involved in Little Five.
Yes, I have watched Breaking Away many times. It was something that was fun to watch with my teammates when I was a student to get us excited and hyped for race day. And since I have been an alum, I have shared that movie with many people and friends who don't have a connection to IU or Indiana in any way, shape, or form, because it's a quintessential Hoosier and IU movie. And so it's really fun to share with people that are from other parts of the US or the world.
And because of that movie, it's made the Little 500 the most famous intramural sport, not only in the country, but basically in the world. We called it the world's greatest college weekend.
Yeah, we're really lucky that our event is so well known and that people do care so much about it. Whenever I tell people about Little 500, something that you can't talk about the race without talking about the community of people that surround the event. And so whether you were involved as a writer or a steering committee member or a volunteer, or you were just a student at IU who attended the race and cheered on a team, this event really, really pulls people together. And I've had many, many students tell me stories about how they have traveled abroad or to other parts of the US, and they mention IU and somebody mentions Little 500, and they have made connections globally because of this event with various people. So we are really lucky that we have that reputation and that so many people are familiar with our event and our organization and the community of people that rally around this race and that are excited about this race. It's just a really incredible group of people.
Now on the women's side, Teeters, the defending champs from 2019, who are some of the teams to watch for in the women's race?
Well, I think this year there's a lot of great teams to watch out for. You know, it is a smaller field this year. There are going to be 18 women's teams. And so I think within that 18, there's a lot of teams to look out for. I'm not going to name names. I don't want to name favorites or anything, but I think that with that smaller field, you're getting a lot of very competitive teams in there. And so I think there's going to be a lot of teams to watch out for. And like I said, everybody is really sort of thirsty to get back out there on the track. And so they are going to be ready and excited for race day.
The women's race, it's been going on since 1988. It's 100 laps, correct?
Correct.
How amazing is it to see that this event has lasted as long as it has?
I think it's really incredible, and it makes the event even more special when we've seen this event evolve, and it started as only a men's event, and now the women are just as competitive as the men and train just as hard as the men. And oftentimes people say that the women's race is more exciting to watch than the men's race because it's a little shorter and there's not as many lulls. But it's just really cool to see we're in our 33rd year of women racing. And I think that's incredible and speaks a lot to the strength of the female student body at IU and their passion for cycling, for IU, for Little 500. I think it speaks volumes to the women who are involved with this event.
Now, on the men's side, the most famous team is the Cutters. They're going for the three-peat this year.
Yep.
Are they the favorite, and who can challenge them?
Well, again, I don't want to name favorites or pick out any teams, but similarly, the men's field has a lot of competitive teams as well, and we do have smaller fields this year, and I think there's a lot of top contenders, and I think a lot of riders are really excited to be out there. And this has been a long time coming, and they're not going to hold anything back on race day.
Traditionally, the women race on Friday, the men race on Saturday. But of course, because of the unique situation this year, they're racing on the same day. Mm-hmm. So how, as an organization, is that going to be to pull off two races in one day? And what a long day ahead for everybody involved.
Yeah, it's going to be a long day on the track. That's for sure. Our volunteers are going to be all there all day, you know, from possibly before 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or after. So it's going to be a long, long day. We do on a regular year, we have a, well, and on this year also, we have a rain plan. And each year our rain plan, the women's race gets rained out on Friday, is for the women to race Saturday before the men. And then if both races get rained out on Saturday, we would run both races on Sunday. Now that hasn't happened since I've been involved with the Student Foundation, but we can run two races on one day. We will be able to get it done. And we have an excellent group of student volunteers and alumni volunteers who are going to be there on race day, who are going to help us turn the track over in those few hours between each race, and we'll be able to get it done.
Now, the Student Foundation is involved in all aspects of campus life. So talk about all the responsibilities that you have as director of the Student Foundation.
So as the director, our jobs are kind of a combination of event planning and student leadership development. So we advise students. We have a group of about 30 steering committee members and about 25 writers council members who we work really close with and advise throughout the academic year. And then those two groups of students are in charge of putting on various events throughout the semester, whether that's helping with Thank a Donor Day or IU Day or putting on Rookie Week for writers. Those 50-ish students are putting on a lot of events throughout the year. And our responsibility as staff members is to advise them and guide them through the development and deployment of those events. So it's really it's a full-time thing. We might have one day in April or one day in May where we host an event, but our students are putting on many, many events leading up to that, whether it's cycling events or philanthropic events. You know, there's a lot happening besides just Little 500.
And this year, the uniqueness is you get a virtual Little 500. So explain how that's going to work.
Yeah, so this is our first year hosting a virtual Little 500 series. We have an excellent partnership with Echelon Racing and Echelon Promotions. And this is a group who they excel in putting on virtual cycling events. So we are partnering with them to bring two virtual events to anybody in the world that wants to participate on Saturday, May 22nd and Sunday, May 23rd. So on Saturday, we are hosting a 20-lap time trial at virtual Bill Armstrong Stadium. And then on Saturday, we are hosting a 45-mile virtual women's race and virtual men's race. And this race it's going to start and end at Bill Armstrong Stadium, but it's going to take riders through Bloomington, through Morgan Monroe State Forest on a classic training route. We're really, really excited about this. The platform that the race is going to be hosted on is called RGT Cycling. And these virtual roads that's what we sort of call them. These virtual roads will live in that app after the event, in addition to two other virtual roads. So any user who is familiar with that RGT platform can come back and quote unquote ride in Bloomington on three different routes whenever they choose to do so, which is really, really cool. This is a tool that our students can use to train later on. And it's a tool, again, that anybody around the world can use. So hopefully this just brings more attention to our event and helps us grow our community.
So Wednesday, May 26th, going to be a busy day for everybody. The women's race at noon, the men's race at 4, and what's the link to watch it?
Broadcast.iu.edu.
Well, Andrea, I thank you very much for joining me. Congratulations and all that you do. Good luck to everybody. Hope for two great races and two safe races, and we will definitely do this again soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick. It was great chatting with you.
My thanks to Andrea Balzano for being my guest this week. IU baseball hosts Illinois tomorrow at 3 o'clock in a makeup game from April 11th. Hosts Nebraska Friday and Saturday. Hosts Ohio State Sunday and Monday. They are 24-12 on the year. Indiana softball finishes the regular season 25-19. Track and field, men's were 10th with Nathan Stone in the pole vault and Ben Veach winning individual championships in the 10,000 meters. Women were second with 109 points with Leah Moran in the triple jump. Rowing was fifth with 87 points at the Big Ten Championships in Indianapolis. And men's golf started the NCAA Regional today through Wednesday in Tallahassee, Florida. Thank you for joining us this evening. Thanks to our sponsors. On behalf of the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Nick Jenkinson. Join us throughout the week on social media and every Monday night right here for more Talking Sports.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.